What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
We had weekly meeting with NASA scientists. And so one of the things that they told us was at NASA, it's very interdisciplinary. Of course, they have mechanical systems, biology systems, electrical systems. They have all the like different systems. So they were like, we're in big need of interdisciplinary scientists, and bioengineering is a big, big space for that. So I was like, oh, you know, these NASA scientists, they're doing what I want to do at the time with space propulsion. I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, I'll listen to them. They probably know more. So that's how I actually chose bioengineering.
That is Ryan Ayoub, Goldwater Scholar, who's pursuing a bachelor's degree in bioengineering at the University of California, Riverside. Hello, I'm your host, Venkatraman. Ryan was working 30-hour weeks while in high school. Outside of that, Ryan was more likely to be playing basketball or video games. Then in his senior year, he took some science-y classes, as he calls it. He did well, and he liked them. He felt science might be his thing. Ryan joins our podcast to share his UC Riverside undergraduate experience, undergraduate research, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, pursuing bioengineering, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives. Five highlights from the podcast.
I picked UCR because I was like, I got into that school and then UCSF. And I knew eventually I wanted to do something-ish research, potentially, like medicine. And I knew that UCS had more funding. So I was like, all right, I'll just go to UC, UC Riverside. It's close to home. You know, seems like a good school. So my first, like the summer before college started, so this is still COVID period, I did a NASA program. It was called L-Space Mission Academy or something like that. And so that was my first introduction of kind of what research was. The program was a 12-week online program with NASA, and they gave us like a mock $200 million, and they want us to make a preliminary design review, like short for PDR. And it focused around making a rover that determined water abundance on like lunar surfaces on the moon. Are you familiar with extracellular matrix? Have you heard of that at all?
No, I haven't.
Cool. So just to make it very simple, the point of the podcast, it's essentially what cells is like their air, I guess, or like our air. So they use it's made of collagen and a lot of different proteins, and they use it to migrate, communicate, a whole bunch of other things, like regulates a lot of their intracellular pathways. So I was growing extracellular matrix with a specific phenotype of cells that would change that matrix. Getting that Barry Goldwater Scholarship kind of opened another door for me to be able to talk to different people. Before, my networking was just from LinkedIn, cold calling. You know, hey, my name is Ryan Ayoub. I'm a fourth-year bioengineer. This is that. So kind of being able to piece on the, I'm a fourth-year bioengineer, like Barry Goldwater. I think kind of like opened some people's eyes. And let's say like, because we're on the topic of like science. I like science. All right, what is there in science and whole? Say we break this down into, we have engineering pool. We have like biological sciences, like biology, chemistry, ecology, whatever. I would say like, say we have 10 different majors now. What can all those like different majors, what can you do in them? And then whichever one kind of sparks you the most, that's what I think you should go into.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Ryan. So without further ado, here is Ryan Ayoub.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Sure, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, thanks again for inviting me as well. I'm excited.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with your overall impressions of your college experience so far?
Yeah, so I came into UCR at 2020, so that was like a COVID year. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little different than your average college experience. So I was at home, still in San Diego, Southern California still. Mm-hmm. And so first year, everything's online, all my classes online. And to be honest, I kind of enjoyed the online experience. Mm-hmm. I like doing, kind of having my own schedule if I wanted to, you know, do a lesson a little later in the day instead of an 8 a.m. or a 7 p.m., mm-hmm. I could do that. Mm-hmm. It worked really well with, at the time, I was still working at In-N-Out. So if I had class, if I worked, for example, from like 10 a.m. to like 6, that wasn't a problem because I could just do class later. Mm-hmm. So during the time, it wasn't really too bad. Of course, it was a little stressful during, you know, COVID times and all things going on. But I think I enjoyed it. Good first year. And then mm-hmm. second year, fall was still kind of online mix-ish. We were on mm-hmm. campus. However, everything was still online. So it was a weird hybrid kind of thing.
Right.
I forgot to mention, my first year, that's when I started research. It was nothing in the lab, though. So even like my classes like biology, chemistry, they were all online. It's basically either the teaching assistant, they would just basically give us the answers, or it would mm-hmm. be kind of like a simulation thing that no one like really learned anything. Second year, that's when I actually started doing more in lab, started cell culture, started working with cells. And that was around the end of fall. So end of fall, now we're trying to get back into classes. This is like my first time being in a real lecture hall now. It's a full room, like 250 kids. Like essentially I'm a fifth year high school student coming into this. I didn't really feel like I was in college. And I think a lot of other people had that experience. They kind of felt like they're still in high school. And then we started getting into classes. And at that point, from transitioning from high school, I didn't really try too much, to be honest. I was still kind of more, I just want to play sports, you know, play video games, like whatever. But my senior year, I kind of tried and I took some AP classes, did kind of well. And I took AP Physics and AP Calc. So I kind of like, maybe I can do some science-y things. And so I think the first class, I actually kind of realized science might be a kind of thing for me. I could then take this farther was organic chemistry. This was organic chemistry 1 winter. And I remember the first test we got in the midterm, I was super scared looking at it, and I did very well on it. And mm-hmm. I was like, this kind of gave me like a initial, I guess, burst of confidence that, you know, I can do science. Like, this is supposed to be one of the harder classes. And, you know, I did pretty mm-hmm. well. So from there on, some of my classes, they are kind of the same, like weren't too difficult. Kind of learned how I really enjoyed to study, how I enjoyed doing stuff in the morning. I started getting on my morning routines very well. So I kind of mm-hmm. tried to find what fits for me and found my groove. So then continued with that, with kind of training with research with one of my grad students, Lisa Salmarone. She's going to her 50th year right now, PhD. And mm-hmm. so training with her, and I think I really started to, that combination of like did well in organic chemistry, and also when starting in the lab, the big thing for me was kind of looking under a microscope and getting my first piece of data and saying like, wow, like what I'm doing in a petri dish that maybe cost, you know, $5 with some very basically simple materials, like some DMSO, some like media, some basic chemicals. And you can actually make data that it's beneficial for, you know, in vivo, like in the disease in a person. That really took me in a way. And I was like, starting getting more into literature. And that's when I was like, okay, like there's a lot of things you can do. And, you know, they're, of course, they're complicated. But at the end of the day, you're just using essentially basic little different tools and scaling them up to make bigger things. What I thought was like amazing. So
tell me a little bit about why you picked UCR. Why'd you go there?
Yeah, so when I going into high school, like I said, I didn't really try too much until my senior year of high school. And through all of college, I thought I was going to go into community college. And at the end of my senior years, when I decided I wanted to do like, eventually, I was mechanical engineering. I really wanted to do like space propulsion. So, mm-hmm. Kind of answer your question more directly. I picked UCR because that was like, I got into that school and then UCSF. And I knew eventually I wanted to do something-ish research potentially, like medicine. And I knew that UC mm-hmm. had more funding. So I was like, all right, mm-hmm. I'll just go to UC Riverside. It's close to home. It seems like a good school, like whatever, I'll kind of go. I wasn't like too educated decision, I guess.
Where was that coming from? Why did you think you wanted to do research?
Yeah, so my first like the summer before college started, so this is still COVID period, I did a NASA program. It was called L Space Mission Academy or something like that. And So that was my first introduction of kind of what research was. The program was a 12-week online program with NASA, and they gave us like a mock $200 million, and they want us to make a preliminary design review, like short for PDR. And it focused around making a rover that determined water abundance on like lunar surfaces on the moon. So that was my first kind of introduction. I was on a science team, and we did a lot of like researching different instruments that could be used on this rover. So that was my first introduction of like using different tools and building up and making stronger models or stronger, you know, designs, whatever the case may be. So my first kind of introduction to research, and I was more interested in it when I got to UCR, because the first class we took for bioengineering was bioengineering seminar. And there's different researchers, they came in, or like people from different fields. And I got really excited by one tissue engineer, and I had no idea what she was talking about. Something to do with like proteins. At the time, of course, I had no idea about anything in biology. And so she's talking about these different models she was doing and different like DNA editing and different like culturing techniques. And then again, that same kind of concept again with using different smaller materials, making bigger things and scaling up really just hit me. And then that's how it kind of started from there.
So tell me about getting into research at UCR. You started to talk about it a little earlier. You know, how did you find the lab, and then what did you end up doing there?
Yeah, coming into kind of looking for labs and kind of what a lab is, I didn't really know like what tissue engineering is. I mean, when I signed up for bioengineering, I was initially, I just heard like, oh, I like biology engineering, like, hey, whatever, like cool mix. So I had a friend who was actually in the lab I'm in now, Dr. Morgan's tissue engineering lab. And he kind of briefly explained it to me. He's like, it's, you know, kind of using cells to model diseases. I don't know if he knew like exactly all the details, everything. I knew he was in like a senior person in the lab, but maybe I just didn't understand it very well. But I wanted more experience going into COVID. I felt like I was like going to be behind, you know, I don't know how long this COVID thing's going to go for. So I was like, all right, let me just take this lab position. And so I talked to the PI and Joshua Morgan, and he kind of explained to me what the lab was about. And one of the big things that he was telling me was, again, they make different models to, you know, be able, one, to detect different mechanisms of certain diseases, to reverse them, or to potentially slow them down. So that was kind of building on top of, like, we can make these models and now we can use them. So that was kind of like how I got into it and my initial interest with the lab itself.
So what did you end up doing? What have you done over the last few years with that?
Yeah, so first year, starting with the project, since I couldn't get in the lab, the PI, Dr. Morgan, he's very big on computational in the way of like computational models, as in using MATLAB to analyze different, say, like fluorescent images or confocal microscopy. So instead of just getting like an example, instead of just getting a fluorescent image is like straight intensity of a, say, protein expression, we can maybe get how this protein is aligning in the nucleus. Is it going into the cytoplasm, et cetera, et cetera. So what I did was a computational project, and it was revolving on traction force microscopy. And so very briefly, what traction force microscopy, like TFM, just to be short, is essentially detects cells' contractility from looking at displacements in beads. So like a cell will be plated or cultured on top of like a collagen gel or some kind of gel, and there'll be beads inside of it. And so you can do some kind of stress to the cell. So we just killed the cell. And so it's going to cause the cell to contract. And depending on the cell's phenotype, it'll contract more or less. And this contraction, it will push the beads over. So using MATLAB, you can track how far those beads are moving using particle tracking. And then you can just divide it by the amount of time. And then you can get like speed, and then you do your math to get force. So, and then that was kind of the first thing. And all that data he got it from when he was postdoc. So
yeah,
it was just confirming a smooth muscle actin model, which is like very contractile. So that was my initial start. And then I did that for a whole year. Thankfully, I was able to present some of my work at the UC Bioengineering Showcase in second year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first got into lab was like that winter, beginning of winter, my second year. And so I was being trained by the grad student I talked about earlier. And so this is very basic, like cell culture, how to take care of cells, how to passage them. We did some transfection, like viral vector stuff. That was pretty cool, but still kind of, I'm still trying to learn techniques, learn the biology behind it, especially that was one of the challenging parts as well. And so at that point, there was something called a UCR mini grant. And so it was a very small funding, it's like $1,000 for undergrads to, you know, do their own project. And my PI was like, oh, you should apply. Like, this would be a good opportunity. So $1,000 and, you know, $1,000 doesn't bring you much in research, but it was a good stepping stone to, you know, apply into bigger stuff. And so that project had to focus around, are you familiar with extracellular matrix? Have you heard of that at all?
No, I haven't.
Cool. So just to make it very simple, the point of the podcast, it's essentially what cells is like their air, I guess, or like our air. So they use it. It's made of collagen and a lot of different proteins, and they use it to migrate, communicate, a whole bunch of other things, like regulates a lot of their intracellular pathways. So I was growing extracellular matrix with a specific phenotype of cells that would change that matrix. So I was going to see how that affects healthy cells. And I've been doing that for the last 2-ish years now. Hopefully the goal for the end of this, of course, is to publish at the end of this year. This will be my fourth year going into, but I've had the opportunity to do, I think, three posters and one presentation on this project. So that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to research and how that worked out those years and the posters and presentations that came out of it.
How have you kind of been impacted by all this research? What has it done for your, education, you think?
Yeah, that's a very long question. And so kind of starting with how research affected me, I think I'm going to answer this in like two different ways. So the first thing I think I want to talk about is just like the way that I would think about problems. Initially going in with research, I thought it was a very linear thing where, like, you know, during school, during all our tests, all our questions are 2 + 2 = 4. There's always one answer. It's always one thing. And if you don't get it correctly, then you get 1 point. You'll get points off, or like you'll get partial credit or whatever it is. And research is a completely different ballgame. The answer can be A, B, C, D, and none of the above. So that was the first way I kind of started thinking of things, that there's more ways things can be solved and there's more ways things can be modeled. So that's kind of the point of research, right? Being able to propose new things that can, you know, either improve on what you're doing or change it in some way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the first way, just changing how I'm thinking more critically about problems, being able to be my own kind of problem solver. Instead of thinking, you know, let me just ask my upper person, the PI teacher, you know, they're not going to know the answers that either. They may have a suggestion, but they're not going to know the answers regardless, because there is no answer. So it's kind of making your own answer and your own question, which I thought was cool. And then, so moving more to academic side. So that second year, I didn't really see the benefits of research. At that point, I hadn't really won. I haven't really applied to any awards yet. Not really did any grants. And it was my third year. I think that's when I really took off. Yeah. Learned about what Barry Goldwater was in the summer. And I was like, you know what? Let's just apply for this scholarship. Like, I don't really know what it is too much. I actually don't even really remember how I got introduced to it. I maybe saw it on your website, but regardless, I started applying for that. And it was when I first started talking to one of our student engagement advisors. Her name is Gladys. And I was telling her about, you know, last few years I've been working, you know, 30-ish hours a week plus school, and I've been doing research. And she was like, you know, this is not, you know, very normal for most students. Most students will, you know, do one research or work, or, you know, none or just above, and just do research. Or sorry, just do academics. So at that point, I was kind of like, oh, like, this may be something I can, you know, use for my advantage. So while I was applying to Barry Goldwater, I got a better idea of, you know, what my experience actually mean when it comes, like, compared to other students. Not only, like, compare myself, kind of just, like, where do I scale in the terms of, like, extracurriculars and research or whatever the case may be.
And right.
So I applied for that, and I was able to have the opportunity to apply to a lot of other scholarships. And because now I knew the value of my other experiences, like, including research, primarily,
yeah.
Then I could apply to other scholarships, and I started winning a few other ones that, like, specifically in UCR. So that's when kind of, like, the scholarship point started to come out. And I think now that I've won, like, a few awards, like Bear Goldwater, Chancellor Research Fellowship at UCR, I think I'm starting to see another side of research, which is, you know, you have the winning the awards, winning the grants, you know, getting in the lab, having kind of, like, a name, like, your name attached to something, some, like, piece of paper. I think more now it's about, you know, we win, like, you get the scholarships, the grants, and now it's about kind of executing on what you have. Like, how can you actually make real impact? I think sometimes researchers, we get kind of stuck up on, like, you know, applying for grants, like, saying we're going to do all these things, but, like, it never actually happens. so kind of now sticking on the science and trying to publish and get to that end goal.
Talking about Goldwater Scholarship, why do you think you won? What was in your application, you think, that made the difference?
Yeah, I think the main thing in my application that made the big difference, this is coming from my interviewers. They said they were very surprised by the amount of hours I was working in lab and when working at NL at the same time. They said they're really impressed by the way I was able to manage working all those hours, but as well as being able to stay up with the literature, being in the lab, doing different types of, like, data analysis, and still being a well-rounded scientist. And the way we're, instead of just doing one thing, example, collecting a whole bunch of data, but not actually analyzing any of it. That was the big thing for me. And the one thing I really wanted to push on was, like, the background that I came from. We can go into more of that in a second. But so I think my background and then the amount of, like, research plus work I had, Barry Goldwater itself, is they like to see, like, people of, like, different minority groups. So I think also the fact that I am, like, Muslim, and there's not, when I looked on the people who are, like, who won Barry Goldwater previously, a lot of them are, like, white Caucasian, and they all go to Ivy League schools. So I think that's another big thing, another thing that kind of pushed me out, is that I don't go to a, you know, super huge school, even though UCR is, like, still great. It's not on the league of, like, you know, Stanford and those types of schools.
You mentioned that winning the award has given you a certain amount of cred and, you know, in the labs. How do you think it's made a difference overall?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I will say about winning Barry Goldwater, and a lot of other people have agreed with me on this as well, that the network it opens you up to is a lot bigger now. So there's, like, a huge Slack channel that Barry Goldwater has, and it's filled with, you know, 2,000-ish people. It's a huge Slack channel. Everyone in there is highly educated, like, highly motivated, doing their research, and all really passionate about it. So getting that Barry Goldwater scholarship kind of opened another door for me to be able to talk to different people. Before, my networking was just from LinkedIn, cold calling. You know, hey, my name is Ryan Ayoub. I'm a fourth-year bioengineer. This is that. So kind of being able to piece on I'm a fourth-year bioengineer, like, Barry Goldwater. I think kind of, like, opens in people's eyes, and it's kind of like, for example, if, you know, when someone says something, like, if I say hi to, you know, Barack Obama, it's not that big of a deal, because the person who's saying it is not as big as the person who has said it. But if Barack Obama says hi to, like, some random dude, like, it's going to be very big. So I think the networking opportunities that opened to me was great as well. And also at the university, student engagement is really big on previous winners of different scholarships being able to help out to other students. So for me to now actually go and give back is a really humbling and really good feeling with helping other students.
So let's take a minute, let's take a few minutes and talk about your background. You kind of alluded to it. Tell us about the challenges and these things that you felt you went through getting to college.
Yeah, so this kind of starts back in middle school, kind of. So my parents, we moved to Texas because it was cheaper. And mm-hmm. so we lived there for a few years. And, you know, as a, you know, middle schooler, I didn't really know what was going on. I couldn't drive yet. I couldn't really do anything. So I was like, oh, whatever. It's fine. And I went into my high school. This is freshman year in high school. And so my parents divorced. And me, my mom, and my sister, we moved back to San Diego. So at this mm-hmm. point, my mom didn't really have as much like savings saved up for the move itself. Mm-hmm. I just moved. And so me, my mom, and my sister, we lived with my uncle for a little bit. This was a few months mm-hmm. while my mom is still getting training for a particular job that she was interested in. And
yeah,
so this is freshman year of high school now. I'm adjusting to, you know, new people, new group, new school. Wasn't too hard after the few months getting to know yeah. people. My cousins, thankfully, went to the same school I did. So I always hung out with them. I knew their friends after yeah. a few weeks. So that wasn't too bad, the school part. So moving in, I think this time I'm 15 years old. 15, 14. And
yeah,
so my mom's still single mom, working, trying to pay the rent. And my sister can't really work yet. But I'm starting to get mm-hmm. a feeling that at this point, with like the divorce still going on, that I need to grow up a little quicker. I knew mm-hmm. my mom needed the moral support and the emotional support, as well as my sister. She was younger at the time, 3 years younger than me.
Yeah.
She didn't really know it at the time, but I think now looking back, thankfully I did kind of step into the role of being, you know, like the man of the house at like 15-ish. So going into that, I knew I had to work the second I turned 16. So had a friend who worked at a ice cream place. Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah.
Like flipping the ice creams and stuff. So
yeah,
worked at Cold Stone. I think this is like a few days after I turned 16. At that time, I think you had to be 16 to work. Like immediately started working, and so again, I started working like 30-ish hours a week. And I did basketball mm-hmm. in high school, so this was my routine from sophomore year to end of my junior year. I would school. I would have basketball practice from like 3 to 5, whatever, 3 to 6, I think. And then like 6 to 10-ish, I would go to work at Cold Stone. And I had a fifth period off during high school. So I did all my homework and whatever at those periods. And kind of like how I said before, like I didn't really try that much in high school, second and third year. I think primarily because I was working and I had basketball and like track, whatever, at the same time. So
mm-hmm.
going to that, our financial situation was still pretty low at the same time. Like, I wasn't working just to, you know, work and make extra money. It was working to pay bills and support my family as well. So,
yeah,
that continued until COVID. And COVID, I think, was a really big turning point. I think at that point, I think we were starting to get a little better. Definitely on the uprise. At the time, my mom did have 2 jobs, though. And
so
2 jobs plus COVID, my mom wasn't able to kind of handle it. So she stopped working. And at the time, she has 1 job now, and mm-hmm. as a medical coder, and I switched to In-N-Out. In-N-Out, I knew they paid a little more. And at the time, I think this was a while ago. Minimum wage, I believe, was $12 or $13, and I think they were paying $14. So I went there, really enjoyed it. Of course, the pay raise was really helpful to our financial situation, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last few years from moving in my senior year into my first year were pretty similar again, where it was just a lot of working, almost like, I guess I'm getting like 30 to 40 hours a week, every single week. So this continued for another year and a half-ish. And I don't want to go too in-depth on my family's divorce situation. However, it did get a little worse. A lot of like little nitty-gritty things when it comes to child support and thing and stuff like that. I won't go too in-depth, but I think you can infer what happened there. And so that's when I kind of went into college, and that's when Niberic Goldwater applicants, when I told them my story about, you know, supporting my family, becoming kind of growing up pretty quickly, having to work and do all these different things. During my interview, I kind of told them that, you know, a lot of people, that when I tell them my story, they're like, oh, like, how did you do it? Like, this is impossible. I can't manage doing, you know, XYZ. And I kind of tell them, like, you know, it's normal in my family, you know, and like Arab culture, like, you know, everyone's going to work. Everyone's going to work hard. And that's kind of like the expectation. So when people were like, how do you do this? Like, do you even have a life? It was like, you know, this is normal for me. It's not like anything like new or anything. At the same time, my mom was working like 40 hours, sometimes 50 hours, and plus another job. So for me to sit there and complain about like playing basketball and then, you know, going to school and then having fun at like In-N-Out, that wasn't really an excuse for me to, you know, be like, mom, I'm tired, but like, you're working all those hours, you know?
Tell me what you want to do next. I mean, where are you headed?
Yeah. So I just finished a internship at Genentech, and it was up in South San Francisco. So I got some experience in industry research. And before that, I wasn't sure if I wanted to like just go industry, go master's, PhD. After working at about 3 months in the job, I did see the benefits of having a PhD in biotechnology. Definitely a lot of people there who were kind of in the bigger roles or kind of had more freedom in their roles, they all had PhDs. Yeah. And one of the biggest things I heard there was PhD gives you lots of opportunities to grow in the long term.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, you can basically do anything when it comes to, you can go science route, director route, consulting. There's a lot of options you could do. So my next steps, hopefully will be to enroll in a PhD program for this upcoming year. I do want to study bioengineering still. I want to focus on cardiac tissue. I'm still in the same realm of extracellular matrix. I'm not exactly sure like what I want to study. Of course, that'll change in the next few years. And I hope to go to a school in Southern California.
Okay, so one thing we didn't talk about is how did you get into bioengineering? Started liking, I mean, you know, it sounded like you learned biology in your first year in college, got into that. So how did that interest sort of develop?
Yeah, so I think going into from high school, I kind of liked biology a little bit. I wasn't too sure what it really was, to be honest. I thought it was more of, I was like, oh, like these cells and something with trees. That's kind of what I thought biology was. I thought like the kind of other side of what I do now, I thought that was like medicine. I thought doctors would did that. I was wrong on that. And so the NASA program that I was telling you about, we had weekly meetings with NASA scientists. And so one of the things that they told us was at NASA, it's very interdisciplinary. Of course, they have mechanical systems, biology systems, electrical systems. They have all the like different systems. So they were like, we're in big need of interdisciplinary scientists, and bioengineering is a big, big space for that. So I was like, oh, you know, these NASA scientists, they're doing what I want to do at the time with space propulsion. I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, I'll listen to them. They probably know more. So that's how I actually chose bioengineering. And then I also did some research like on my own, not too much. But from my reading from, you know, a quick Google search was you can basically combine mechanical systems and biological systems, and you can use it for different biomedical applications or medical applications or electrical applications or whatever applications. That was my first kind of interest, big spark on there.
Wow. Fantastic. You know, the interesting thing about all this is that nothing is a straight line. And as long as you explore and you're willing to keep an open mind, sure, you'll land in the right place. So what I'd like to do next is have you give some advice to high schoolers. You know, what kind of advice would you give them about college as they think about their own journeys to college? What would be some of the key things you'd tell them?
Yeah, I think the main thing I would say, and I see this with a lot of people in college or coming into college, is they're very set on what they want to do. So they're so like 100%, I wanted to, this is a common one. So a common thing, I want to be a doctor. I was just saying this. I would really recommend, as you know, medicine in the field is a very big thing. There's more than just being a doctor. There's more just being a surgeon in the medical field. There's, you can be a surgical tech. You can come on like the side I'm on and do the research behind it. There's a nurse. There's a lot of different aspects. So I would say kind of like how you were saying earlier, keep your options broad. Talk to a lot of different people. The main thing, you know, people say like to do a lot of things, but there's not a lot of, you know, actions behind them. Like they'll tell you the network. They don't tell you how to network. So the main things I would do is go to your career center, talk to different or contact different career centers if you're not in a college yet. Kind of ask them, can you run me down some, you know, some different careers that I can pitch and go into. Let's say, like, because we're on the topic of, like, science. I like science. All right, what is there in science and whole? Say we break this down into, we have engineering pool, we have, like, biological sciences, like, biology, chemistry, ecology, whatever. I would say, like, look in, like, say we have 10 different majors now. What can all those, like, different majors, what can you do in them? And then whichever one kind of, like, sparks you the most, that's what I think you should go into. When I was, like, watching YouTube, when I was watching, thinking about doing space propulsion, the main thing I was kind of new that brought me into it, and I'm still very, like, I think it's still super cool, was I would watch YouTube videos about different space launches, and I could not stop watching these videos. So it was kind of like that excitement that I had in me that started to make, you know, my work feel like play. You know, if your work is play, then no one can ever beat you. It's just like, this is, you're playing now. You're not working. You're not studying.
So Ryan, this has been fascinating. We're going to start winding down. But before I let you go, I would like you to share some fond memory or anecdote or vignette from your undergraduate experience so far that you think listeners might enjoy.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stuck with me, memory. And I was thinking about this question earlier. And, you know, I think probably the biggest thing that I see in a turning point was probably winning the Barry Goldwater Scholarship. When I first actually won it, I knew it was the same, like, the morning that they were going to announce it. And I woke up, like, right away, like, same minute, checked my phone, and I was, like, half asleep. And I was reading the email. And so the first word they said was congratulations, but I'm, like, half awake now, and I'm reading the email. I'm like, okay, like, what are they telling me, like, I won? And then, I popped up, and I was like, mom, I won. And, like, she was still sleeping. And I was like, oh, I won the scholarship, like, whatever. And kind of just how that, like, kind of gave me so much confidence to just do whatever and, like, go on different journeys and say, like, oh, I'll just apply to this. Like, I can figure it out. Like, I have confidence in myself that, you know, I have the ability to do this. And kind of from there, just rock it off. But I think that's probably the best experience that I have from memory.
Wish you all the best in your journey. I'm sure you're going to do great things. So hope to keep in touch, and take care right now. Be safe. And thank you so much again for talking to me.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you again for inviting me, and happy to ask any question or happy to answer any questions from any of the listeners as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Ryan Ayoub on his experience at UC Riverside. Ryan came to UC Riverside wanting to study mechanical engineering. He got involved in the tissue engineering lab, growing extracellular matrix, which led him to his current major, bioengineering. Winning the Goldwater Scholarship gave him a huge boost in terms of opening doors and giving him access to a large community of scholars, past and present. I hope Ryan's story inspires you and you check out UC Riverside for your own undergraduate efforts. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.